Welcome to this podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, exploring aspects of our life and witness at this time.
Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the Presbyterian Church's podcast. It's great to have you with us wherever you're listening from today. In this episode, we're going to take some time to think about and discuss what it is to have an approach to family ministry, where both the church and parents play their part in the discipleship of children and support each other as we disciple, teach, and pray for our children as they grow and thrive in their faith. We're also going to highlight a new resource from the Kitchen Table Project, which is part of the Ministry of Care for the Family, called Children's Faith, A Whole Approach to Family Ministry. I'm Ruth Bromley, PCI's Children's Development Officer, and I'm delighted to be joined by Andy Frost, Caroline Bradley, and Andrew Lamberton. You are very welcome. And I'm excited about this conversation as we think through how, as parents and as congregations, we can help children's faith to thrive. So just as we begin, could each of you take about 30 seconds to introduce yourselves and just tell us a little bit about who you are. Andy, do you want to go first, and then Caroline, and then Andrew?
Sounds good. My name is Andy, and I'm based in London and married to Jo with two daughters. And I run a charity called Share Jesus, looking at how we share and communicate the Christian faith. But I also get to work with Care for the Family on the Kitchen Table Project. I'm really passionate about looking at how we can support children in discovering more of who Jesus is.
Yes, I'm Caroline Bradley, the National Representative of Care for the Family. So I'm involved in all parts of the work at Care for the Family here in Northern Ireland, but particularly focused on the Kitchen Table Project as well. I'm an empty nester. I got three grown-up sons, but they've managed to give me seven grandchildren. So I'm a bit of a tired grandma today because I had a three-year-old and a four-year-old overnight. So spent a lot of the night giving them Calpol and ibuprofen and cuddles.
Oh, wow. And Andrew?
Nice one. Yeah, my name is Andrew Lamberton from Fawn in Donegal. I work along with Exodus, in particular with a ministry from Exodus called Legacy that works with fathers and churches across Ireland. I feel like a rich man because I've got a wife that loves me and I got four children. So that's me.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. Now let's begin our conversation about children's faith now that we've introduced ourselves. And research has shown that about 72% of Christians come to faith before they are 19 years old, but only 50% of those who come to faith as children keep their faith into adulthood. I find the first of those statistics really encouraging, considering the time that I spend being involved in and helping congregations to think about how we do children's ministry well. And it helps us see the importance of good children's ministry and support of families. However, I find the second statistic very unsettling, and I feel concerned about the drop off of children's faith and teenagers' faith as they enter adulthood, as I'm sure many are. Our hope instead is that children's faith will thrive and grow and develop into adulthood as they live by faith every day. And I want us to think just for a wee minute about why is that important? Why do we need to take note of these sort of statistics and maybe change what we do to change them? Andy, could you comment kind of on this generally and why you think it's important and why you're passionate about this whole idea of doing what we can to change that?
Yeah, I think first of all, these stats are really helpful. I think they are friendly statistics. We actually see what's happening then. We can often rely upon kind of word of mouth. When you see these stats in the hard light of day, you can think, actually, what does this mean for our practice and how do we need to change things accordingly? As we go on this journey, I think the other thing to really be aware of is actually is our why. What do we want? What does success look like? And really, for me, it's about children discovering who Jesus is for themselves and following after him. Having that really clear in our mindset is really important. That it's not just about bums on seats on a Sunday. It's about people experiencing Christ and following after him. And for me, I wrote a book a few years ago called Losing Faith, where I interviewed nine people who'd lost their faith. Many of them were growing up in Christian families. And often we hear those stories of people coming to faith and we celebrate them. We often don't hear those stories of those walking away. And there's something really important about listening to those stories, hearing what's going on and discovering what we can do differently in our practice.
Yeah, absolutely. Caroline, do you want to comment a wee bit as well about why you think this is important?
Yeah, well, I agree with Andy. You know, those statistics really tell us a story that childhood's really, really important on a faith journey. And I think we need to celebrate that childhood is so formational. But we need to understand the factors. So that second statistic, I think, should really make us alert. I think it should make us curious to kind of understand what's going on. Why are children walking away when they choose their adult path? And we want to look and understand, what can we do to prevent that? How can we make that statistic fall? What can we understand about how that faith is nurturing? And I think at Kitchen Table Project, we've looked really deeply into that and understand a number of elements that we know make a difference. And we know home life is so important, and that parents have a really important role as the primary influencers in telling the God story to their children. And so I think these statistics are important to us for that reason. But for me, that statistic as a grandma, I've got 7 grandchildren and another one on the way for my Christmas present. And, you know, I want them to have a personal God. I want them to have a God who goes through all the seasons of life and all the journeys of life. And honestly, it breaks my heart to think that statistic tells me 4 of them might never know God into adulthood. So that's why these statistics are important. They need to call us up and make us think, what can we do to drop that statistic and change it? That it isn't 50%, it's a whole lot lower.
Brilliant. Thank you. Yeah, let's hope so. That's really what we want to do. Now, Andrew, you come from a small rural congregation within PCI that is full of family. Children, parents, grandparents, and not just your family, but others as well. Why do you think those sort of statistics are important in that sort of context? And why do you think children's faith thriving is crucial to you where you are?
Yeah, good. Because sometimes it does feel in our church like half the congregation go up for the children's address. I have to say, we're really blessed at the minute with children who want to learn, who are passionate about Jesus, who are growing in their faith. And you're right, I do go to the same church that my parents and grandparents, great-grandparents and great-great-grandparents and great-great-great-grandparents went to. There's kind of a lineage there for me. I am very much known in the church that I go to. I was a child in our Sunday school. And now I'm the Sunday school superintendent, you know. But anyway, I think like for a lot of, you know, listeners, they might think, oh, well, that's idyllic Donegal, you know, or that's okay for you in that small rural church where you can maybe manage that kind of thing. But I just want to really remind folks that we see the full range of testimonies on a small scale. You know, we see those that start, I mean, there's always a granny praying somewhere, but we do see the testimonies that start in a place where there's, you know, it seems like there's no faith, and then they gradually taste and see that the Lord is good and come to faith and become members in the church and develop. See those that start in a place where they've got Christian heritage and they come to faith when they're 3 years old and they just seem to walk with God their whole lives. And we see those ones then that start with a sense of Christian input, Christian parents, and it just seems like they walk away. So as a kind of, when I was introducing myself, I mentioned that I work with fathers, and this is, I'm throwing another stat out there, but you're kind of, your face-to-face time with children, you know, 75% of your face-to-face time with children is before they're the age of 12, and then 90% before they're 18. And I think that runs true in the church too. I think in terms of face-to-face discipleship, a lot of it happens and with our Sunday school and with our children. But that's why I'm a big supporter of deep children's ministry. It lays such a foundation for what's coming ahead. I often tell our children it's a bit like a bank. You know, whenever you go to Sunday school, you're putting all these, you know, the character of God's in there, the fruit of the Spirit's in there, the great stories of faith are in there, the way the Bible works together is all in there. And while people, you know, we're talking about how, you know, a lot of people walk away from their faith after, you know, growing up in the church. But actually, as I kind of work with young adults on the other end, so many testimonies start with, I went to church when I was a child. And then there's this moment where they meet a Christian in their workplace, they meet a Christian at university, they bump into a Christian on the street, and there's a heritage there of their stuff in the bank. And the Holy Spirit just seems to use that as a well to draw from, and he just brings it up to the forefront of their mind. And before you know it, they're jumping up and down for joy, you know.
Oh, I love that analogy of the bank and it just being lodged in there, that it just becomes part of their life and what they can draw on as they live out faith and learn about faith as they get older. Now, we've mentioned the Kitchen Table Project a couple of times, just in passing as we go along. And for those who don't know, the Kitchen Table Project is part of Care for the Family, and they've produced a resource called Children's Faith, A Whole Church Approach to Children's Ministry, which Caroline and Andy have both been involved with. Caroline, you work for Care for the Family here in Northern Ireland. Many people may know you who are listening, and you know a bit of the background to the resource that was there. Can you tell us a wee bit about it and kind of the catalyst behind why it was written? And then Andy will tell us a wee bit more about it as well.
Sure. It's never a problem for me to share about this resource. It's been one that's been in the pipeline for a while and really excites us at Care for the Family. I hate to use the word COVID, but actually COVID was one of the catalysts here. COVID meant the experience of church was different for churches and for families. And actually it resulted in a shift, and a conversation around faith and families widened at that time, because churches were thrust into thinking differently, weren't they? And they did a great job at trying to deliver so much online and resource families with materials. And yet the church realized, they knew all along, but it was like a moment where there was a heightened importance of the whole family when gatherings stopped, and a real recognition that coming alongside parents was really important. And parents had a fresh appreciation, I think, of their role of nurturing faith. So it resulted in a bit of a renewed focus, a renewed interest. Conversations were going on about evaluating and refreshing the whole area of family ministry, and what does it look like for families, and what does that look like for nurturing faith. So we did get involved in some actual research, a collaboration which Andy was involved in as well, EA, Hope University, and ourselves. And Sarah Holmes produced a great report called Family, Faith and COVID-19. And what it actually highlighted, we always love to throw out stats. Well, here's another one. 99% of parents want to work in partnership with the church, and 97% of church leaders also want to work in partnership with parents. That's a great statistic, that we've all got that desire to work together. And 75% of parents said that the relationships they had in church were really supportive to them. So what we did at Care for the Family was carry out another wee piece of research with church leaders. And we did it in conjunction with Faith and Kids and Southwest Youth Ministries. And we asked church leaders, what sort of resource would you like us to create for you? What would help you as you look best to support families, as you're coming out of COVID, as you're reevaluating, as you're looking forward? And so they said to us they wanted something that wasn't prescriptive. They wanted something that really gave them opportunities of discussion with others. They didn't want a one-size-fits-all resource, but they wanted a tool they could be confident in and that they could trust. When they started to ask themselves the questions, where do we start? What should we do when addressing that whole issue and developing children's ministry? So this is why this resource was produced. And we did it with exactly that in mind, that it's a three-session, really flexible coaching material. And it's really a starting block for churches to kind of have conversations together. It helps them shape their vision. It helps them audit what they're doing, what they'd like to be doing, and think about steps that they could take of what is whole church family ministry. Andrew was telling us there about his family having grannies and great grannies and generations in the church loving Jesus. And the church and children's ministry is so important, and especially for those children who come along who maybe don't have Christian parents. They're maybe being sent along to Sunday school. But this resource isn't all about church programs. It's really helping the church shift and think about, how do we cheer parents on? How do we create an intergenerational space where we all worship together, where children worship alongside the older generation, where there's just sharing of God and the stories of God across it. So this tool really helps spark some of those ideas, give them insights. So we've lots of really helpful tools that help churches really drill into that. And it's not a one size fit all. It really does suit all congregations.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you, Caroline. And I've seen the resource and seen quite been part of some of the bits around it and hearing all it's about. And I think it's a great tool for congregations here to use to help them think about how they do this. Now, Andy, you were very involved in the project and the developing of this resource as well, and writing, and anyone who sees the videos that show your face on them, they'll again see that and hear what you say. What have you seen or heard about congregations engaging with the resource and using it? And are there any stories or just things you've heard about how it has impacted people and changed thinking and what they're doing?
Yeah, I think the first thing is that the resource covers kind of two aspects. It covers the idea of scaffolding and the idea of culture. So the scaffolding is the idea that getting some work done in your house, getting a gutter fixed, you put up scaffolding for a short time to get the gutter fixed. And the scaffolding is the things that we do, the Sunday morning program, potentially the midweek things, the holiday clubs, the things we do week in, week out, and those things that happen at certain times of the year. And we think about actually, how do we best put these scaffolding in place to really help children's faith flourish? So what are the things that we're doing? But the second thing is the culture. It's actually then, how do we do this? What are some of the ways we engage the wider church? What are some of the kind of customs we adopt to really help faith become embedded into every part of church life and see children flourish in every aspect of church life as well? So those kind of two bits kind of being the almost the bedrock of the kind of this new resource. And we've had churches come across, I guess you get some come across the resource and they feel that they are failing. They say, you've only got three or four kids on a Sunday, everything's a disaster. But we're able to come alongside and say, actually, you know, this course shows actually there's more you're doing than you realize. There's things you're doing, maybe having a meal after the church service or encouraging the children to volunteer in some way. There are things that you've actually missed that are a key part mm-hmm. you're doing when it comes to discipleship. There are other churches who think, hey, we've got this nailed. And again, this resource helps you think, actually, you've got lots nailed, but there's still more you can do as well. You might have a thriving group on a Sunday morning, maybe 60 kids coming. You've got a great entertaining program with some great Jesus stuff in there. But actually, how are you really engaging and empowering the parents during the week as well? So I think going back to those initial stats we looked at, we started this conversation, they make us aware that we can't just go on autopilot. We need to be aware of actually what are the challenges and how we're going to really support families. So one of the stories you heard just last week was Lois was on the call and she's involved in children's ministry in her church. She said that the course and going on this journey has helped to see things not just as children's ministry, but to really see it through the perspective and the eyes of parents and see this kind of wider picture of how do we come alongside parents, carers, the wider church, the grandparents, to really come alongside children and exploring faith. And she shares some stories of what they've done. So, for example, they do a worship kind of playlist from their church, which they now make available so that kind of parents and grandparents and carers during the week can use that same playlist in the home going forward. So they did a kind of parenting for faith course in with the parents where they encouraged them to come online and do it rather than doing it in person. So they hadn't got to get babysitters. And they have a chair regularly now once a month in their children's work where they bring an older person in to come and share their story in one of those kind of big wibbly wobbly blow up chairs. So things like they've done to really work out how can they create these habits and culture of working intergenerationally, of empowering the whole church to really come alongside children to help them have a faith that flourishes.
Brilliant. And isn't it great to know that it's not even something huge that people have to do? Sometimes it's just taking one little step, changing one thing, inviting an older person into your children's ministry to tell their story, having the playlists. I love that idea of just everyone listening to the same thing and just learning those songs together. And it's not, it doesn't have to be a big thing that people do. It can just be that one little thing. Yeah. To make a difference and build on that.
Yeah, we're often saying that actually it's a kind of journey going towards this. It won't happen overnight, but what are the first steps you can put into place? What are those gentle things you can move forwards so that in 2 or 3 years' time you could be actually becoming much more holistic in your approach?
Yeah, brilliant. And I hopefully lots of congregations here will will really engage with that and pick up with it, and just as it helps and supports them in their ministry. Now, Andrew, you head up Legacy, which is part of the Ministry of Exodus here in Northern Ireland. And this resource, as we've just heard, looks at the role that parents play and the role that churches play in helping children's faith to thrive. Tell us a wee bit more about the importance in particular of fathers and father figures. I love that it's not just fathers, like biological fathers, it's father figures in church for children and young people. And just tell us a wee bit about the importance of that in terms of how children's faith can grow and thrive that you've seen.
Yeah, good. We've heard a few stats, heard one story there. I'll just throw in another story into the mix, and hopefully this will help us along. We were in a secondary school reading the Bible with a lot of children, kind of year 8 to year 10, so kind of 11-year-olds through to 14-year-olds. And so we'd brought in a team of volunteers from local churches. We were reading the Bible. It was Mark chapter 1 we were reading with 920 pupils through the course of a week, all in small groups, like 3-4 pupils to one volunteer. And I'm an observer by nature. Like that's what I do. I kind of watch. On the Wednesday of our Bible reading together week, one of the volunteers said, "Have you noticed that lots of them are given the same answer to the last question of the class?" And like, I was a bit raging that I hadn't noticed, you know. But anyway, I was like, right, I'm paying attention from now. And the way the class is split up, the kind of the male volunteers go with the lads and girls with the girls. So I always had young fellas in my group, 3 or 4 of them. And from the Wednesday morning through to the Friday afternoon, maybe, you know, 11, 13 classes in a row. And we read Mark chapter 1. The last question is, what do you want to remember from the passage? What do you want to remember from the passage? And I can tell you that every time I got the same answer from that Wednesday morning through to the Friday afternoon. And now we've done this project with Scripture Union and with Exodus since in other schools, and it hasn't been 100%, but the theme has continued. It carries through. And so I can say with a degree of lived accuracy that this is the verse out of Mark chapter 1 that most young people want to remember. And like Mark chapter 1 has so much in it. It has someone possessed by a demon. It has John the Baptist eating locusts and wild honey. It has Mark giving you his opinion, the beginning of the good news, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's got Jesus' first sermon in there. And yet time and time again, the verse that they want to remember is what God the Father says to his son after he's baptized. And it's, "This is my son, whom I love, with him I'm well pleased." And they point to the verse and they say, "I think I want to remember that one." And I think there's a gospel implication. Andy, you're an evangelist at heart. And I think there's this great, in that verse is described a right relationship with heaven. You know, heaven saying, "I love you, I'm pleased with you, you're mine." And deep down, as these first-time Bible readers read Mark chapter 1, there's something in them jumps because we want that relationship with our Creator. I think it's also an observation that we live in an under-fathered society, and that whenever young people come across this, they long for those words to be said over them. I can tell you that first week when I made the observation on the Friday afternoon, whenever we went home, I made sure when I was tucking my kids into bed that I said, you know, "Sarah, you're my daughter. Peter, you're my son. Matthew, boy, you're my son. Hannah, you're my girl. I love you. I'm really proud of you. I'm well pleased with you." And so all that really to say that it's both my conviction and my observation that fathers are more important than we think. Fathers are more important than they think they are. And their voice is really important. And I could keep talking here, but maybe I'll just wrap it up by saying, you know, Psalm 103 is a psalm that just celebrates who God is. And it's there whenever God is describing who he is, that about halfway down it says, "As a father has compassion on his children, so have I compassion on you." And so right at the very heart of God is this fatherly figure who loves his children. And so as the church, we can be those father figures for those, and we can certainly champion the fathers within our congregations. And maybe I'll give it a challenge as well, because you mentioned about father figures. If you want to really encourage the young people in your church or the children in your church, whether you're a father figure, whether you're a granny or a mother, whether you're just someone in the church, put the word always in a sentence and say it to one of the children in your church. Because there is very few people in our world today who can put the word always in a sentence and mean it. Things like, I'll always pray for you, or I'll always be here for you, or you can always ask me anything you need, or we'll always be here beside you. Be careful who you say, I will always love you to. Make sure they're just your own children. But for the rest, put the word always in a sentence and say it. And I think it might be odd in the moment, but I guarantee you those children will remember that. And they may well come back 10, 20 years later. If they're the 50% that have dropped off, they may well come back and say, you're the person who said you'll always pray for me. And so we can be those representatives of Christ to our children.
Brilliant. Andy, thank you. I've heard you tell that story a few times about the Bible reading, and it always gets me every time you tell it. And I think it's got a real significance for people to hear. Now, this November, I'm really excited that we're running an event called Starting Strong with the tagline of Building Our Children's Faith. Often when we run an event on children's ministry and the development of faith, it's either for children's ministry leaders or for parents. But we want to do something a little bit different in light of some thinking and I suppose this resource that is being launched. And we're inviting church leaders, both children's ministry leaders, ministers, elders, to come together to think about children's faith thriving as well as their parents, and to have them all in a room. And Andy Frost is coming to join us that evening, and he's going to do kind of two keynotes that evening. One for leaders to hear and be challenged and encouraged in what they do, and one for parents as well, so they can hear each other, know what each other is doing, knowing what each other is being encouraged to do, so that we can just hear everything and know when we go back to our congregations what each other is doing to support each other and be there. And hopefully the idea is that this will help us to all be on the same page as we help children's faith to thrive and grow and have this mutual understanding. Now, Andy, we're delighted that you're coming over in November to be with us. Can you tell us what you think, or why you think it's important that parents and leaders hear each other's side of the discipleship coin, if you like, of the two of them together, which is why that's important that they're in the room at the same time?
Yeah, I think first of all, two of the hardest jobs. I think one of the hardest jobs is being a church leader, and that you have so many pressures day in, day out. There is a leak in the roof. There is a safeguarding issue. There is the finances. So many different issues you're facing, and children's ministry becomes just another thing on top of that list, really. So it's coming under pressure. And the second hardest job, I think, is actually being a parent. Actually working out how do you navigate, parenting in today's culture. Our kids are being bombarded with different messages about what life's all about, as Annie just shared now, about that verse from scripture that our children need to know that ultimately they are loved by their Father in heaven. So then you've got two very pressurized groups of people who are both trying to do their best for what they've got, but having space to really talk and to have a conversation and to be really real, I think, is important. I often think in church life, there are some kind of key myths. So we can, if we're involved in church leadership, think very much about everything being church-centric. So how does it all fit around the Sunday and what happens as a church life? And for parents, we can think, well, actually, we're not really the experts. It's the church pastor or the youth worker or the children's worker. They're the experts. I'll delegate my child discipleship to them. And so with these myths, we try and dispel these myths and bring together these different groups to say, actually, what does it mean to have a more open conversation about the challenges and the opportunities, so we can be much more cohesive in the way we're actually looking to nurture faith? And I really hope this conversation will not only bring about action and understanding, but actually impact many, many practices, and we'll see many children discover when these competitions come together, these kids discover more of who Christ is when they're hearing it on a Sunday in the hour a week, but they're also hearing it throughout the week as parents are equipped and resourced to share Jesus.
Brilliant. Caroline and Andrew are also going to be there that night to have Care for the Family and Legacy represented at that as well. So I think that's really important that we think about how we do this together. Do either of the two of you want to comment on the idea of having both parents and leaders in the room together so we hear each other's side and can then support each other as we disciple children and help their faith to thrive? I don't know which one of you.
Caroline should go first.
Want me to go first? Well, yeah, I mean, Andy has covered so much ground there, hasn't he? And I think anything that gets us all in the room together to have a kind of mutual understanding of where we're all at, what we're all trying to do. We all share the same goal that we want to see children know and love Jesus, don't we? And sometimes, you know, as Andy said, church leaders are really pressed at times, but they're the gatekeepers, aren't they? And sometimes for them, they appoint a children's worker, they assign people roles, and they feel they've covered that. And it can just be a really great way to be in a room that everybody can kind of understand where each other's coming from, remove any sort of assumptions that others would have, or bridge any gaps in what we think. I can remember being involved in running Sunday schools and thinking, these parents think they're coming here with me on a Sunday, and I've such a pressure. I've got to get these kids to know Jesus in this hour. But actually, parents need to be really encouraged too, that they make such a difference in those 7 days that they've got, all living out authentic life with their children and getting those opportunities in everyday life just to nurture faith. And I think when each other understands where they're coming from, they can work together, support. But the key thing is really have an honest conversation. So what does intergenerational church look like? You know, we've got lots of multi-generational churches where we've got all the age ranges sitting on the pew. But actually, intergenerational means I can be granny not just to my own grandchildren, but all the kids in church can know, as Andrew said, that I can be the person who'll say, I'll always pray for you on Monday morning if you're going off to school. Or, you know, I can tell you the story of God in my life. And so it just gives us space all in the room, hearing from each other, being challenged a wee bit, encouraged the little steps that we can take, and just begin honest conversations that will help shift the culture in this whole family journey that we're on, a faith family as well as natural families.
Brilliant. Andrew, do
yeah,
you want
to no problem. Add in? Well, I just think it's, Ruth, it's in our DNA, you know, the normal self-deprecating humour that we have in Ireland, we're not very good at saying what we're good at. And so even if I'm going to say something that I think Presbyterians are good at, I need to say before that, like, I think there's lots of things we can improve on too. And I love lots of other denominations, of course, and we're all in the kingdom of God. But whenever someone from another denomination asks me how many people go to my church, it's within our DNA that I will reply by saying that we've got so many families that go to our church. I don't even know how many people go to our church. I just know we've got 25 families. And so that's right within our culture. It's within our heritage. And so I think it makes sense, Ruth, that you've organized an event that has church leaders and parents because, as Graham Thompson always reminds us, church is family and family is church. So as you read the Bible around the kitchen table, you're being a mini church. And as we gather on a Sunday morning, we're being a big family.
I love that. Thank you. Now we're nearly at the end of our time together having this conversation, which is great. And to finish these podcasts, we often ask our participants to share a verse or a short passage which has spoken to them. And I wonder, could each of you share something that you have read from the Bible that just reminds you about helping build children's faith to thrive? Andrew Lamberton, do you want to go first? Just while we're here, and then Caroline, and then Andy, would you finish off?
Yeah, I would love to. Really looking forward to that event, Andy and Caroline, where we'll be together again and hopefully with lots of others. So looking forward to talking to folks then. I just want to share the verse that we shared together as Sunday school teachers on Saturday when we met. We launched our Sunday school just at time of recording yesterday. And then just the day before that, we met as Sunday school teachers to pray. And it was this verse from Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 that we hovered around, where Paul says, being confident of this, that he, that's God, who began a good work in you, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So we've looked at some of the stats of people who lose faith, but I know that the word of God says that whenever God begins a work in a child, that God will not leave that child, that he will continue that work through their lives, and he will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus.
So I struggled to decide which verse because there was so many jumping out at me. I just love that one in Psalms where it talks about each generation shall set their hope in you and God, that we've a potential to cascade this faith story right down through generations of children we're not seen. But when I think of all the parents out there and I think of the struggle I feel sometimes being a grandma, and how do I do this well? I can't help but come back to Deuteronomy 11, 18, 19, where it says, fix these words of mine on your hearts and minds. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. And to me, that just speaks of all those small interactions that we weave into every day. And those spontaneous inclusions, as well as some intentional ones that we look and take the opportunity to put that faith into that faith bank account that Andrew was talking about. And just that it's an everyday life thing. It's just as natural over our Weetabix to be telling a story about God and pointing to him as it is when we're driving in the car and we just chat and to our children and pray as they're getting off to school. And I think it just encourages parents that this is just in your normal everyday life, not a big extra to-do list, but God has it ordained that it's all those everyday moments as we walk, as we talk, as we eat and we sleep.
And Andy, can you finish us off?
Yeah, for myself, I was reading James again yesterday and came across that verse, James 4, verse 8, which begins, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And I remember as a kid reading that verse and being really quite meaningful, just the idea that if I make myself available to God, that God wants to speak into my life and show me more of who he is. And over the years now of my life so far, I've experienced that time and time again. And now my prayer for my children is that they would draw near to God and that God would draw near to them. And it's just a reminder that for all parents and carers and grandparents out there, that in the everyday of life, we can draw near to God and he'll be there. But also it's a promise for our children as well, that they can draw near to God and he'll be there for them. That he promises to be faithful to them going forwards.
Oh, brilliant. Thank you for those three amazing reminders, both as a parent and as a children's ministry leader, of the impact that we can have. And thank you so much for being part of this conversation and being willing to share with our listeners about this, what I think is a really important topic, as many do. And just a reminder for those listening that our Starting Strong event is on Thursday, the 14th of November in High Street Presbyterian Church in Hollywood. It's a free event, but you do need to book a ticket. So why not think about gathering a carload from your church leaders and parents and come together? More details about the event and how to book can be found at presbyterianireland.org/Starting Strong. And you can keep up to date with Starting Strong and other events on PCI's various social media channels, and also by signing up to Equip, PCI's email, which provides up-to-date information each month on training events, programs, resources, and more, which are available to you and your congregation. And you can sign up for that email at presbyterianireland.org/equip. That's all for this episode. Thank you again to my guests for joining me in this congregation and to you for listening. We hope you join again for the next episode. But until then, God bless.
You've been listening to a podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. Thanks for joining us.